Back to the other big story this morning. The issue of multiculturalism was raised brutally in Norway last Friday. The background of the alleged shooter, Anders Behring Breivik, and his writings talking about purging Europe of Muslims and extreme anti-immigrant views, along with the violence that killed 93 people in Oslo, have intensified a debate in Europe. Multiculturalism has been a discussion for a long time, though, here in the United States. And when we asked for your responses to the events in Norway, you didn't disappoint. Challenges and triumphs is what multiculturalism has meant in the U.S., according to you. This Denver listener texts, being black in America is always a challenge. When you challenge the status quo of what you should be and what you do to historical ideas of what black is, it hurts. The same is with other cultures in the U.S. There is always a fight to be treated well and fair. James on Facebook writes us, it's not multiculturalism that is the problem. Bigotry and insanity are the problems. Same is true here. Want to know how to overcome the challenges of multiculturalism in your own life? Don't be a bigot. And here's a story of triumph.
This is Patricia from Brooklyn. We ride together on the same jam subway car. We clap for each other's kids and they sing on PS229 stage. We have nasty names for each other. We have wonderful, stupid jokes about each other. But we watch out for each other's kids and we wish each other happy holidays when we can't even pronounce their names. And now I'm personally awaiting an Irish, Norwegian, Osage, Palestinian, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Episcopalian grandchild. How rich and blessed a nation this is. Multicultural, it's just how we live here, and it makes it very hard to hate.
Your story is like that terrific one from Patricia from Brooklyn at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Are there lessons we can teach the people of Norway, or at least that they should listen to? Go to thetakeaway.org. Now we're going to bring you a firsthand view into that tragedy that killed nearly 100 people. 93 dead, hundreds more wounded. Many of those killed were in their teens or early 20s on the island of Utøya. But one who survived is 21-year-old Adrian Prakon, who tells his story to our partner, the BBC.
The shooting started just a couple of seconds after the man came on the island, and he started walking upwards from the main house and up towards the coffee house. And people started running when they heard gunshots. People stopped because they were unsure of what was going on. And people came running upwards towards me and keep falling because of they have been shot in the back. So people were falling when they were running. When I saw these people falling just right in front of me, I started to run. And I yelled to everyone else, make sure that they start running. There were also some people in the main building that were looking out the window, and I also yelled to them that they must get in, that something is wrong. And so they did, they locked windows, pulled the mattresses up towards the window, and I started running through the tent place where the tents were and continued into the woods. The man then came around the corner and saw us. He started shooting at us, and we heard the bullets just passing our ears. Some bullets actually hit someone just right beside me. I continued to run a little further, and I looked back and saw that he opened some tents where he saw people run into. He opened the tents, pulled out his pistol, and just shot people in the tents. And I started running towards the water because I realized now I need to leave this island. It's not safe to be here. So I saw people already swim. They took off their clothes and started swimming. I didn't have the time to take off my clothes. I just jumped into the water with clothes on, with boots. And it became very heavy because it's very long distance. And I realized I'm going to drown if I don't take off my clothes or return back. So I turned back. And then I saw the man stand on a cliff and started shooting at the people that have already swam far away. So the water splashed from the bullets, and he then saw me when I approached the shore. And he pointed the machine gun at me, and I begged him, please, don't kill me, stop. And I don't know if he had some sympathy or just couldn't see the pleasure of killing one person instead of a group of people, but he spared me then. In my mind, I was already prepared that he's going to kill me now. This is over. But he didn't, and I was shocked that he just walked away. I lay down on the same place that people were threw their clothes when they were about to swim. So I wrapped myself in some clothes because I was freezing. It was cold. And there were also clothes that could camouflate me. So I lay down there, and a half hour later, some kids started coming as well. They were there hiding with me also. So we were 20, 25 people then, and he came back. I saw people standing up, start running, being shot in the head, being shot in the back, people falling over me, dead. The water turns red around me because this was near the water. Just a complete massacre. I used some bodies to hide behind to pretend I was dead. I then heard his breathing, his boots when he approached me. He was maybe a meter away from me. And I felt a small nudge in the shoulder. And I couldn't hear anything for a while. I heard a big boom, but nothing later because it was so close. I could also feel the warm air from the revolver, from the gun, sorry. Then I realized I was shot. But the amazing thing with a human body, I didn't feel any pain then. That was very good because that did that I didn't move. I was completely still, even when he shot me, and that saved my life.
You can hear there in that voice from a hospital bed, the short 21-year-old life of survivor Adrian Prakhon passing before his eyes a couple of times last Friday. He spoke of his eyewitness account there of the brutality in Oslo, Norway, that killed 93 people on Friday. He was on the island of Utøya when he was shot in the shoulder, but as you can hear, lived to tell his tale of surviving the Norway tragedy, thanks to our partner, the BBC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.